ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I just bought a new pair of shoes yesterday in anticipation for any shoeies that might come, so I'm coming in prepared.
Liv's Lucas Herbert on how he's preparing for the events in Adelaide. When your golfers are talking about drinking beers from shoes with DJs, it's fair to say the event is probably more about the piss up than the up and downs. It hasn't stopped the tournament from being successful. Far from it. There'll be world-class golfers, big crowds, a big party. Does that success highlight some of Liv's broader struggles? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Jack Snape is a sports writer for The Guardian. Jack, we are on the eve of the second Liv event in Adelaide after last year's woozy edition. As you've written about recently, it doesn't seem that any of the ethical concerns about this rebel tour have worried Aussie golf fans. Why do you think that is?
Well, you go back to when Liv was first announced a couple of years ago. Much of the opposition to this rebel upstart tour, especially from, you know, golf circles in the US, was around the source of Liv's funding, which was largely Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. And a lot of the talk then was about Saudi Arabia and its human rights record. There's been a lot of criticism towards that country. But increasingly, we've been seeing the debate around Liv changing, particularly after that, the plans to merge LIV and PGA about last year, midway through last year. We're talking more about the future of golf and less about these ethical considerations. And largely, those kinds of discussions will tend to dominate Adelaide this week, given it's such a prominent event for LIV on its calendar.
It's interesting to me that for all Liv's largesse, it's the South Australian government that's paying them to play in Adelaide, which we knew, but has there been any sort of clarity as time's gone on about how much the SA government is stumping up?
There's been a lot of endeavour from journalists, politicians, members of the public to work out exactly how much South Australia is paying for the privilege of hosting LIV, but the South Australian government have held it tightly under wraps. They are not releasing the figure. They say it's commercial in confidence. There's estimates, within the millions, tens of millions. But the key thing is the dynamic with Adelaide hosting this tournament. It's not like LIV is convincing a golfer to jump ship into their rebel tour and that they have to pay the money. The dynamic's the opposite. South Australia, they're a willing partner. They want to attract the event to the state.
South Australia took the first mover risk, but that brings with it the first mover advantage. And other people have seen the success we've been able to create. Now they want a piece of it. That's life.
There's 700 volunteers that help make the event happen. Even though LIV seemingly has unlimited money, they're not going to be getting a cent for helping out this week. Certainly there's no evidence of any major financial windfalls at the Grange Club in Adelaide, where this tournament is being held this weekend. They're not getting the kind of money the golfers are.
World number four, John Rahm, is one of those golfers. And he spoke about the fact that you get something special when fans want to be there more than the players.
No matter what the golf course or the golf is or the weather conditions are, when the people show up, they're more excited than you are to be here. Is what makes a tournament so great. Is what happens in majors, is what happens in Ryder Cup. That's what makes it something that's really enticing for me to go and perform. Because at the end of the day, we're entertainers.
What does it tell you about how they're viewing this event?
Well, Pat, like you and me, yeah, we just want to be loved. And I think LIV players probably feel the same. You know, love playing in front of big, enthusiastic crowds.
Tricky bunker shot, no green to work with. Elevated green.
Gotta go.
Oh. Really good.
That's a fabulous shot.
Being respected for what they do, what they spend their lives doing. And I suppose it's been a strange dynamic for many of them. Joining LIV, you're probably earning more money than they ever have done before. But TV ratings and crowds, largely down compared to PGA events in the US. And so, you have few of them playing the majors due to the rankings issue with LIV golfers. And so when they rock up at Adelaide, fairways line 10 deep, you can understand why they enjoy coming down here.
The amount of support we got last year, I think, will be amplified this year again with a few more people out. So, yeah, can't wait for the week to start.
They've probably become the kind of rock stars they think they are, and certainly their paychecks suggest they should be.
They were rolling out those Live rock stars today as they put up people like Cameron Smith, Mark Leishman, Greg Norman, John Rahm, as I said. How do those representatives talk about the Adelaide event in terms of their broader tour?
Very positively.
The atmosphere last year, especially for walking up the 18th hole for the first time, when we walked on the green, people started cheering before we'd even hit a shot, got on the tee, they started cheering. And to have even more people this year will make the experience that much better.
Today we heard that Greg Norman described Live Adelaide as the benchmark.
We as a team look at that all the time. Culture is very, very important for us. We use this as the benchmark, saying, look how we've dealt with the local culture within Adelaide, within South Australia, and then it morphs out into the country.
The representatives of Live love talking up Adelaide.
There's obviously a lot of great golf tournaments around the whole world, and to be named the best one is a huge honour for Live and for Adelaide, because obviously without all the support of the Adelaide people and the people of Australia, it certainly wouldn't have happened. So, pretty proud to be an Aussie on that one. Too easy.
Now, the same category in those awards didn't exist in previous years, so we've got to take that with a bit of a grain of salt. But it's hard to argue with the numbers. Live events typically attract, maybe the best ones in America, about 30,000 or 40,000 people over the 3 days. But Live doesn't formally release figures. Apart from with Adelaide, they're very keen to talk about it. More than 77,000 people came to last year's event, and they're expecting even greater numbers this year.
And it was really interesting for me to hear Australian golfer Lucas Herbert say you can't replicate what they do in Adelaide.
I think you're going to struggle to recreate it 13 times again around the world. It's just a special event. It obviously won best golf event of the year last year. So it's going to be hard to recreate that 13 more times.
I mean, why do you think Greg Norman and the Live team, with all their money, all their star power, can't replicate what's going on at the Grange this week? And is that a reason for concern for them?
Well, this is the really weird thing about Live and Adelaide, right? Adelaide, Australia's fifth largest city, has become the darling of this, you know, multi-million, multi-billion dollar rebel tour. It's a strange dynamic. And trying to get to the bottom of it, trying to explain it, well, probably says a lot about where golf should be going. The South Australian Premier, Peter Malinauskas, said today that
what Live will get from the South Australian government and the South Australian people is a sense that this tournament takes over the town and the state. It really provides an atmosphere that you might not get in a bigger city or a bigger state. So I think we've honoured that commitment.
The government wholeheartedly supports it, and it seems like it's got almost universal backing from people in South Australia. And so, you know, maybe in a more cosmopolitan, bigger, dynamic environment, not to say Adelaide isn't all those things, maybe it would be more diluted and you wouldn't see the same response, but it'll impact where Live goes in the future, and certainly I think how golf promoters look at different cities around the world.
Sounds like they'll be seeking places that will have felt neglected in the past. It's been about 10 months since the PGA went on television with the Saudi PIF boss who owns Live and said they were merging. And it was a shock at the time. Many thought this was certainly the end for Live, but it's been a stalemate because they haven't finalised the terms of that agreement. Was their boss, Greg Norman, able to tell us about that peace agreement today and where we are with that sort of ongoing story?
We did get the question to Greg Norman. It's such a challenge to get much accountability, but he played a very straight bat.
I'd love to give you insight, but I don't have any. We at Live are totally separate to that part of the negotiation. We at Live are a standalone company.
I suppose the interesting thing about this, you know, these discussions, you know, so much of what Live is doing is it's kind of building this new golfing world for the future. They created these teams and they've given equity to the players to do with what they see fit. And so in a merged environment, you know, where we get the Live golfers and the PGA golfers back together, what do these teams like, you know, GC Ripper and all these funny names, what kind of impact or presence or relevance do these entities have in a merged environment? And I dare say that's really going to slow down and you know, maybe delay negotiations even further. It's been a long time, and the longer it goes, it might be tempting to go back to more competitive dynamic, and I wouldn't be surprised to see both LIV and the PGA start flexing their financial muscle to consolidate both individual places in world golf.
So what you're telling us there, it speaks to a level of uncertainty around LIV, and it makes me wonder, as excited as some people are about what LIV Adelaide has been able to deliver to the Australian golfing scene, how confident can they be that this event's going to endure?
The South Australian government is proud to say they've still got two more years.
Look, we've got an existing agreement with LIV, which we're very grateful for, which has another couple of tournaments after this one.
But given how far we've come in the last 2 years, it's really unclear about where golf's even going to be in another 2 years. It may be at a different club in South Australia. But if there's a successful merger, the tournament might be scrapped or moved entirely. But the key kind of takeaway in these thoughts about the future of golf is there's no doubt LIV has changed golf, and this louder, brasher, party hold feel format.
Well, the watering hole is posing.
Whether it stays under LIV or whether it moves into the PGA sphere, we're going to be seeing more of this entertainment golf in future. Whether or not we see Adelaide LIV in 5 or 10 years, we will know that for sure it will make an impact in the world of golf.
Jack Snape, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
Headlines. The rugby league community is paying tribute to legendary Manly centre Terry Hill, who has died aged 52 while in the Philippines. Hill played 246 first grade games and represented New South Wales and Australia. Staying with rugby league, and Wally Lewis has spoken about the daily struggles he lives with as a result of concussion suffered while playing the sport.
Because the fear is real, I don't want anyone to have to live with the fear and anxiety that I live with every day of my lifetime. And be worried about what I've forgotten, not even knowing what it is that I've forgotten. The fear of what my future will look like, and living with the constant fear and anxiety that I'm certainly just about to let people down.
He's called for the Australian government to invest $18 million to fund CTE awareness. Champion horse trainer Darren Weir has been cleared of trying to corrupt the 2018 Melbourne Cup. He has admitted the use of a jigger on a horse, which is a kind of taser, and still faces sanction on that front when the hearing continues. Sport Integrity Australia will reportedly investigate the death of former Fremantle and Melbourne player Harley Balick as part of a probe of the AFL's illicit drug policy. His former coach Ross Lyon was emotional when asked about the matter.
My experience and what Harley shared with me, he clearly sat in where he needed support and medical attention, and because I got no visibility on really what occurs behind the scene, but you just make the judgment that occurred. So look, who wants to, you know, to lose a son, a daughter? It's very emotional even talking about him. So I think I'll leave it there, and he's a pretty special young man.
Balick's father was quoted in the Herald Sun as saying his son could have been saved if more people had known about his drug issues. And just on AFL, have you heard about our new sister podcast, ABC AFL Daily? Catherine Murphy and Paul Roos, they are talking footy each day. Roosie has some really interesting insights. Today they're covering that Balick story, Jesse Hogan getting off his striking charge, Toby Green getting a week, Tex Walker's recent comments on umpires. Would you call it a whinge? Catherine Murphy might. The D's Tigers game and much more. Imagine that. A premiership coach and a good broadcaster talking footy every day, ad-free, on the ABC. Go follow it on the Listen app or wherever you get good podcasts. That name again, ABC AFL Daily. Simple. I'm Patrick Stack, and this is the OG ABC Sport Daily, and it's produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 7 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.